It's recording.
Sometimes I hate Pete. Did everybody see our new member of the foundation or the community? The hawk?
Oh, the hawk, yeah.
We have a hawk that comes every afternoon at the same time, sits on the
Sue tells us about him. She sees
him. Okay, and sits on the place for watering. The
bird bat?
In the back of the back.
Yeah.
And it comes every afternoon about 4:30, something like that.
He's feeding on all the new baby squirrels.
Yeah, he's but they're the only animals that come around when he's there are the blue jays. And they're trying to tease him. They fly down and kind of almost hit him. But he's immovable as long as he wants to be. All right. We're in Acts chapter 5, verse 30. We're going to start in verse 33. They had just been arrested, ordered not to speak again. They got out of jail, but the jail, they sent the guys to pick them up so they could talk to them again, and the doors of the jail were still locked, but they were gone. So anyway, in verse 33, when they heard that they were cut to the heart, and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up in the council a Pharisee named Gamaliel, doctor of the law, and in reputation among the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And I'll give them some time. Now Gamaliel, the high priests were Ananias and Sapphira. We've talked about that. But Gamaliel was the Sadducee. I mean, the high priests were Sadducees. And Sadducees were those that didn't believe in the resurrection. They thought there was no... And the people like Gamaliel and the other noted one was the... Who was the first one that come to see him at night?
Nicodemus.
Nicodemus and Gamaliel were of the minority in the Sanhedrin. They believed in the resurrection. So remember, we have three kinds of leaven. We have the leaven of the Pharisees, the leaven of the Sadducees, and the leaven of Herod. So leaven, what is the leaven of the Sadducees?
Not believing in the power of God.
Not believing the power of God, which is specified in the resurrection. They don't believe in the resurrection. What is the... And what was Gamaliel? And
self-righteous. So he was a Pharisee.
He was a Pharisee. And what's the leaven of the Pharisees?
Self-righteousness.
Self-righteousness. No, the leaven of the Pharisees.
Hypocrisy.
Huh?
Hypocrisy.
Same thing. No, it covers a lot more than just that. And then the leaven of Herod was?
The leaven of needing more than you have, lack.
Leaven of lack. You're always asking for more stuff or better stuff or something. So anyway, now we're hearing before, when he was before the high priest, the high priest that questioned him were... What's going on outside?
No.
The leaven of they were the leaven of the Sadducees. Now Gamaliel is speaking as the representative of the
Pharisees.
of the Pharisees, but the Pharisees believed in the resurrection. They just didn't think it was him. So now, in verse 33, when they heard that they were out of prison, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space. And he said unto them, "You men of Israel, take heed to yourselves that you intend what you intend to do as touching these men. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all as many as obeyed him were scattered and brought to naught." He's going through this to show how many people before had claimed they were, again, because it's the 70th year, there's all kinds of guys who are trying to take advantage of it for their purpose, to claim that they were the head of the new order. So that's what's going on now. We just read 36. And 37. After this man rose up Judas, a Galilean, in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all as many as obeyed him were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot throw it, lest haply you be found even to fight against God. And that was the most interesting thing to me that any of these guys said before that when they were taken before the Sanhedrin. Any response? Anybody here in that position of either the Sadducees or the Pharisees?
I'm thinking about the Pharisees that believed about the resurrection, but they apparently didn't believe the effect of the resurrection. It was an intellectual concept, but there was a spirit to it.
Yeah, they believed that they believed in the resurrection, they believed that there was a Messiah to come, but they were, and it's referenced several times in the scripture, it had to be somebody that had some merit. And from their standpoint, no Galilean had any merit. And so that's the main reason why Gamaliel was hesitant regarding, the other one, what's his name? We just said it. Nicodemus. He was more willing to believe, and he did believe. So, among the Sadducees, Jesus had no friends. But among the Pharisees, there were many that believed on him.
And they would then tell people what to do, whether they did it or not. That was part of their.
Well, prior to believing, yeah, right. I mean, not after they.
Not no, when
after
they believed
Christ, then probably they had a change of heart, repented,
yeah.
Hopefully,
then they wouldn't be Pharisees anymore.
Right. Well, they came from the Pharisees' party, and some of them took longer, but at least they were in Gamaliel's position, that saying, "If this guy is real, we'll believe on him. But let's wait and see. See if he was like these guys that claimed to be somebody before." All right, and verse 39. But if he be of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest it happily you be found even to fight against God. And to him that and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name.
Yeah.
And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and to preach Jesus Christ. So we're starting to get a picture of what and how and of the power of the disciples. We're going to take a trip. Let's go to...
That's such a big deal there to be counted. Their mindset was not, oh, crap, we've just been beaten, we better shut up. But they saw it, they're worthy to be counted worthy to suffer.
Yeah. Well,
that is such a...
the only way of looking at that
really is. Yeah.
Let's go to... Let's go to Psalm 94. Well, let's just start at the beginning. Lord God, to whom vengeance belongeth, O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. Lift up thyself, thou judge of the earth. Render a reward to the proud. Oh. Lord, how long shall the wicked... How long shall the wicked triumph? How long shall they utter and speak hard things, and all the workers of iniquity boast themselves? They break in pieces the people, O Lord, that afflict thine heritage. They slay the widow and the stranger, and murder the fatherless. Yet they say, the Lord shall not see, neither shall the Lord of God of Jacob regard it. You can see how in the different stages of Judaism, how they had different viewpoints when you read the Psalms. Even the Psalms of David did not always assert the resurrection, but there were 10 other writers of the Psalms that aren't identified. Sometimes they are, but the reason I want us to get an idea of what and how the people believed. They believed in God and were sold out to God, but not in all things. They think that, I mean, it's constant throughout the Old Testament scriptures where there's a revelation of Jesus Christ, but yet it didn't affect. You know, it normally ended up in the killing of the one that had seen. And it's not much different anymore. We say we believe, but in truth, We believe according to our understanding, which is kind of crazy, because we have never seen a resurrection. So we always believe that it's going to happen sometime, or it already happened, or we just don't know what to do with this resurrection business. And even if we see there's a resurrection, we still find a way to keep ourselves in it. And this is the state of the church. We do everything to keep ourselves as part of the picture. We refuse to see our death. And it's been common throughout history and common throughout the Old Testament. And that's why I want to read these Psalms to see. All right? Now I lost my place. Oh, no, I didn't. Verse 8. Understand, ye brutish among the people, ye fools, when will you be wise? Now, what does brutish mean there?
Brute beast. Brute beast.
And what does that always signify?
Self. Walking after what you see with your eyes.
With your senses. All right? And ye fools, when will you be wise? He that planted the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? He that chastiseth the heathen, shall not he be correct? He that teacheth man knowledge, shall not he know it? The Lord knoweth the thoughts of men, that they are vanity. He didn't say some thoughts. He said all thoughts. And this is why abandonment of self is so critical. The first thing he said to the disciples. Amen. Blessed is the man whom thou chastiseth, O Lord, and teacheth him out of thy law. Now, what is it? I mean, we have to see the law as a revelation of Jesus Christ. We can say it, but unless from that we live by faith, it doesn't mean anything. And I'm saying faith alone. Verse 13, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit be digged for the wicked, or the wicked one. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. But judgment shall return unto righteousness, and all the upright in heart shall follow it. Who will rise up for me against the evil doers? Or who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity? Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul had almost dwelt in silence. But when I said, my foot slippeth, thy mercy, O God, held me up. In the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforters delighteth, thou comforts delighteth my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee? I mean, that's a direct attack. What's the throne of thine iniquity? It's your mind. There has to be an abandonment of self. In verse 19, and in the multitude of my thoughts within me, thy comforts delight my soul. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with me, which findeth mischief by a law? In other words, they interpret the scriptures to meet their own idea.
Who's writing this? Is this David?
Huh?
Is this David writing anything?
We don't know. More than likely it is, but we don't know for sure. Shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee, which frameth mischief by a law? They gather themselves together against the soul of the righteous, and condemn the innocent blood, but the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. And he shall bring upon them that their own iniquity, and shall cut them off in the work of wickedness. Yea, the Lord our God shall cast them off. And this is what's the reason we're reading this is because this is fulfilled in what we're reading in the book of Acts now, right? So let's we're going to do some this one too, the next one. 95. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. Of the strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it. And his hands formed the dry land. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. For he is our God. For we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Truly, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation or in the wilderness, and not as the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me or tested me and proved me and saw my work. 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their heart. They have not known my ways, unto whom I swear in my wrath, they should not enter my rest. Now this is where the writer of Hebrews quoted this psalm directly.
Yeah.
They refuse to enter my rest, but continue on in their own imaginations, their own thoughts. God demands the total. He demands a life lived where there's no more reference to you. That you have lost even the idea of yourself. Do you understand this? The abandonment, total abandonment means? It means never again referring to this evil one. This is what the Lord's Prayer says. Deliver us from evil. It's deliver us from the evil one, which is your mind. That's what the whole prayer is about.
Yeah.
Does anybody have any response to this?
And what about some of the references to work in the Bible?
You mean in the New Testament?
Obviously, in the Old and there weren't the references to work, taking care of one's family. I understand the turning away.
Well, this is old. The whole thing is about people that don't live by faith alone. They live by whatever, and some in that are doing that, they don't even meet the needs of their own family. It was taken as an affront, not as a checklist. Sure, there's works. The whole chapter, the whole book of Jude is how they are. There are works, but they're the works that follow faith, not the works that follow what your idea is. You understand that? There's faith. If faith has works, but not of your own.
I just said yeah. Yes.
I mean, the works of faith are not the way you know whether they're the work of faith or not does everybody in the world do the same thing? It's like, you are they that justify yourselves among men, but God knoweth your heart. For that which is esteemed among men, highly esteemed, is abomination unto God. The highest that you can esteem something is an abomination unto God. And if you are esteeming the same things that the world esteems, you know you're in trouble. Or you should know it. Just by that one scripture. So again, this isn't instantaneous in most cases. It's oh my God, I've been doing this. This is stupid. And you repent when you see it. But repentance is the only way to get to abandonment, to get to living by faith. And it's very rough to say, Father, I want to live by faith, but I don't know how. So this is all I know to do. And then you've given that life to God and let Him, by His Spirit, change you so you see emptiness and crap in the world. But if you don't even take the lowest seat, then you're just like every other Gentile. You justify it some way. This is why the Lord's Prayer, I mean, this is a prayer that God gave to us. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I don't think I can ever understand what hallowed be thy name means. I mean, it's humongous. It's like there is no other thing. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, or the bread of the presence.
Is hallowed another word for holy?
Yeah, but it's a word that's extremely hard to put into English.
I got some hallowed here. Up in Psalm 95, where it talks, the Lord is great God and great King of all gods. His hand of the deep places of the earth, the strength of the hills. His also, it's when you start having a sense of the magnitude of God compared to the minitude of your own self, then His name is hallowed by His very being, and you are sublimated to a point of worship.
Right, that's what it means, what you just said, what it means at this end part.
Yeah. And then your prayer is like this part when we read on, the heart is referenced twice in here, but don't harden your hearts as in the day of provocation. You know, God's put them all through the wilderness, and then at the end they hardened their hearts. There was no repentance, you would say, at that point.
Right. What did it mean to harden their hearts?
Yeah, they kept their own way.
They returned to their own arm of understanding for anything.
Yeah.
They didn't enter the rest.
Even though they saw His works.
Right. They didn't enter the rest.
Yeah, right. And that's the message is to us. It's not about them anymore. It's our hearts hardened. We've seen it all.
And that word iniquity, Alvin, is to pay after. We worship work.
In spite of everything.
Self-effort.
Yeah.
And
they couldn't enter into His rest.
Exactly.
He wouldn't let them. Is that right?
They hadn't abandoned themselves.
Yeah. I swear.
They kept part for themselves. I mean, let's just quickly go to Hebrews 3. I think. Yeah, let me just read a little bit of it. Go to verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation or in the wilderness. In the day of temptation in the wilderness, where you, your fathers tempted or tested me and proved me and saw my work 40 years. Wherefore, I am grieved with that generation. And they said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. Now take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in God. Of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is still called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses, but with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not? So we see that that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Now, what is unbelief to God? What does that unbelief here mean? It means there's an area of your life in which you are still dependent on your own right hand or your own anything. And as I've said often, it can't be done overnight, because slowly but surely, by the preaching of the cross, if you believe it, you start seeing the emptiness of everything in the world. You really come to understand what it means to say, no man cometh to me unless he hate his mother, his father, his sister, his brother, yea, and his own life also. You can't get there from here. But what I'm asking and praying is that if you can't get there, if you're not there, then at least ask God to show you the way. Don't ever justify it. Because if you ever justify it, then you're proving that you're not worthy to enter into the kingdom. Because you've justified sin. Can everybody understand that? There can be no more dangerous place than to be in a place where you're justifying what God sees as sin. And you can say till hell freezes over, oh, I didn't know that was sin. You didn't know that was sin because you weren't the chosen. You may be called, but you weren't chosen. Because chosen, the process of going from being called to being chosen, is the complete emptying of self, without exception. Never again leaning on your own arm of understanding. Now, if you're not there, at least confess that you should be there and ask for forgiveness and ask for him to show you. Amen? This is a biggie. Because I'm just like you. for many, many months, I justified my sin, my leaning on my own arm of understanding. And God's greatness, every time he did, I did, he screwed up whatever I was doing. And pray he doesn't have to screw up your life that bad to get you to understand. Amen. Take it, big guy. Oh, God. I went over again. Now, why isn't it turning off?